You're listening to Titans of the Trades. I'm your host, Ryan England, author of Hire Better People Faster and creator of the CoreFit Hiring System, a proven process to help growing companies attract and retain only the best. I'm on a mission to revolutionize the perception of the trades and elevate it to new heights. After growing up in a blue-collar family, my passion for making the trades cool again runs deep. If you're a titan in the industry and want to be on my show, stick around until the end and I'll reveal how you can be my next guest. Wow, you are in for a treat today. I'm your host, Ryan England. This is a brand new episode. And today's guest, I thought was going to talk about lean and some improvements and processes. And it was going to be this technical conversation. But boy, did he surprise me. Today's guest is an expert in helping small companies continuously improve to get the results they want by investing in a bigger picture than just the process. And I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm going to let him talk to you about it. Let's jump right in. Today's guest is Keith Ingalls with Raymond Corp. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, so we get to talk a little bit, and I actually learned some things about you and about Raymond right before we hit record, and it got me thinking about some of the things that so many businesses are struggling with right now, as the economy is shifting, as there's inflationary pressure, all the things that are impacting businesses right now. We have to start thinking smarter about our businesses. We can't just keep doing the same old thing, and I know that's something that you value and you talk about. So when it comes to the business and how we can improve things, what's a myth that most people believe that you're just like, that's not true?
Well, that's a great question, Ryan, because one of my favorite myths to dispel about continuous improvement, we use the term lean a lot, which to me says lean out an existing process, lean it down to be thin. When we talk about continuous improvement, people get, with good intentions, they get the idea that it's this massive thing. I got to make this massive canyon leap. And it's not that at all. Continuous improvement is the small steps every day. It's the habit of success. Mm-hmm. It's really small, manageable steps that anyone can participate in any level of any type of work. The method and the thinking of the discipline doesn't change, but it is widely applicable in these small, consistent, small, fast steps. And when people want to take these canyon leaps, think about standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon and like, I'm going to leap across. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah. And so what you do, you stand there and you stare, right? And people do that with continuous improvement. They set this really big, giant goal for themselves that they don't really believe they can get to. And they don't make any movement forward. Versus if you set smaller incremental goals, you start making progress. You start making progress. One day you look up and say, hey, I think I can hit that great big goal. So it's those small steps and that change in thinking. That's a myth I'd love to dispel.
I love that. You know, when I think of lean, I think of Toyota. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think, oh my gosh, they are huge. They have an army of people that can do this stuff. And so I get that. When I think of lean, I think, oh, I need an army to do this. But then I hear things like 2 second lean. Right? Like those books that just say, hey, if you could just shave off 2 seconds here and 2 seconds there over a year or over 10 years, like you've just made such improvement. And that's what you're saying is it doesn't Yes. have to be this monumental thing, baby steps.
Well, that's right. And in fact, you know, we're a division of Toyota. I was trained by Toyota and it took me a long time to learn. I would shorten that path for others. It took me a long time to realize it's about getting a lot of people involved in the process. And when you do that, yeah, it becomes a lot of resources. But we find consistently that when we set goals, they're bigger and better than people think they could achieve. If they put a goal out there, they actually exceed those consistently. And so we want people to set goals as a vision, but then after that, work the process, take those small steps. Now look up every so often, but look down and focus on the process. We did that last year with a renewed process. We were trying to help a renewed process. That's bringing a used truck in, going through and replacing old parts and putting it back into market so that the customer ready for, you know, a second life. And the process we looked at with the team was 11 weeks from start to finish. And so over time, that affects, you know, the service, the parts ordering. But really, that process had a lot of well-intended movement in it that we didn't find to add value. And so at the end of the process, like if I ask you, Ryan, to guess over 12 weeks, over a cycle of a large-scale event that we had, we met different times, left homework over 12 weeks. What do you think a good target would be to reduce an 11-week process? What do you think would be good?
Half?
Best guess. Half? Yeah. Half would be good. So 5.5 weeks. That'd be great. I would have loved that. They got it down to under 3 weeks.
Wow.
See, but now had I told them that at the beginning of the process, they'd have said, no way, can't do it. Right? They'd have let go. They wouldn't even have tried. And so that kind of gets back to that myth of continuous improvement. If you set a goal, work the process. The goal is your direction, but then work the process. What are the things I can do today to make my tomorrow better? That might be workplace set. It might be understanding my process better. Because we have a tendency to work almost on autopilot from habit. And so that team was doing things like that as well. They would do things on autopilot, like when the parts came in, they didn't really have good visuals to let the technicians who were doing the service know the parts were in. So guess what? The parts would sit there and wait until somebody, hey, are the parts in? Oh, they're right here. Oh,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. And, well, that sounds silly, but they fixed it as soon as they found it. So that's another thing that fixing problems is compelling. So a lot of times when we coach, I coach people to be a problem finder, problem seer, not a problem fixer or problem solver. Everyone thinks, it's cool to solve problems. Solving problems is compelling. The challenge is really seeing the problem to solve. And we tend to solve symptoms. Now, that particular example, they didn't see that. Once they saw it, they fixed it immediately. They created a visual, made it easy for everybody to see and recognize. They created a standard. They put a process in place. And all that wasted time till the tech decided to ask for work, it went away because the tech could look up and go, oh, I see my parts are in. And it was great. Get the parts. And it was a visual they could see across the facility. So it was really effective. But it didn't occur to them to fix it until they saw the problem. So
that right there is one of the reasons that outside consultants are so helpful, because they can see the things that you've just been living with.
That's right.
You know, I think of the book, Who Moved My Cheese? If you ever read that.
I love that.
It's just this idea that you just become numb to it. It gets molded over time and it's slowly gotten to where it's at. And you're just like, well, it is what it is. And then all of a sudden someone comes outside and says, why are you doing that? Well, I don't know. That's the way we've always done it.
That's right.
Well, what if you did this differently? And I love what you're saying. It's really, instead of coaching people to fix problems, it's coaching people to identify.
Yes.
And have that open mindset of being able to take a step back and say, whoa, why are we doing it this way? Is there a way we could do it better? Could we make our communication more effective if we just tweak this or tweak that?
That's right.
Really what you're saying on continuous improvement.
Absolutely. In fact, Ryan, we use a two-pronged approach to that. We make sure, if I ask this question often, Ryan, everybody always gets it right. I say, who is the expert of the work? And everybody says, oh, the person doing the work. Everybody always gets that right. So then I'll ask things like, did we involve the person doing the work in changing the work being done? Now, often, you're laughing because you know, often it's like, well, no, we didn't talk to them. We thought we had a better idea. Really? Because they're actually the ones doing the work. And maybe we should at least have a conversation.
Yeah.
So we always respect the expert and have those conversations because they see the challenges and the problems in their work more clearly once they get that opportunity. That, you know, we can talk about empowerment. That's empowerment. But now the other piece of the approach, right? Respect the expert. The other piece is bring fresh eyes in. See, we're fresh eyes. When I come into a site, I never go to a customer thinking, I've been in logistics for years, but I'm not going to walk into a customer. And I've been in all kinds of customers, from meatpacking to chemical to paper processing. I couldn't name them all. I'm not better at their process than they are. Mm. But I'm going to ask that fresh set of eyes questions. Hey, did you ever think about, or why do you do this? I had a customer in food processing, and they asked for help on their 5S, and they had these bins of food they were putting in the process, and raw food material that was getting in to be processed and baked. And I said, now which one of these? They had these carts. I said, now which one of these carts is fresher? They said, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, don't you want the cart that just came in, first in, first out? Don't you want that to be in? I said, that's a great idea. Well, they never thought of that because they'd never done it that way. They just stack the carts up and you come out and you grab one. And yeah, I don't know that it made that much difference, but if you sequence it, right, things like that, you're going to have those conversations, people, because they just don't see it. So that fresh set of eyes always helps.
We run into that a lot too in helping companies build a better recruiting system, a better hiring process. They'll tell me, oh, we just can't get to all of our applications fast enough. We just can't get to all the candidates fast enough. And I was like, oh, what's going on? They're like, oh, we're so busy. We're pulling 100 different directions. And I ask everybody, I say, which is harder to get right now, a new customer or a new employee, a good employee? They're like, oh, finding a good employee is way harder. So why is it that we get on our team if they let a brand new lead sit for 15 minutes? We're like, that's way too long. You got to call that customer 15 minutes. But we'll let an applicant sit for a week. And then we call them and they're gone because they got a job somewhere else. And we're like, oh, well, see, nobody wants to work. Everybody's lazy. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why would you let them sit for a week when a new customer you only let sit 15 minutes when you know you've admitted that getting a new employee is harder? Mm-hmm. It's that same thing, that fresh set of eyes. Because when we say that, they're just like, I never thought of that way. That's the problem.
That's right.
Fresh set of eyes is so, so valuable. How do you teach, or how do you get people to start thinking that way? They've been with you for a decade and they know the process inside and out. And they know the systems and it's the way they've always done it. How do you get them to transition the way they think to go, let's identify these things versus just accepting the way it is?
Well, one of the first things that we typically do is have the experts of the work talk us through what their process is, talk us through their process, like tell us the steps. And I'm not talking about, you know, standard work like detail, but like I'm talking about more like process mapping. And I am old school. So a lot of times I'll still use the sticky notes and put them up on the board so I can move them around. And when you visualize their process, most people, it's unusual that people have a visualized process. If they do, it's even more unusual that they actually follow it because it kind of gets set aside and gathers dust because we don't use it other than reference. So I have them talk through that process and they'll start to find things. They'll start seeing things themselves. And that's actually where I have to slow them down because they'll start wanting to make changes before we know what current state is. I'm like, wait, now we need to understand where we're at before we start moving, because we may move something here early in the process that's value add later in the process. So it's really, I hear a lot of talk, and I was schooled in the traditional way, look to remove non-value add. For those that like the Japanese term muda, remove the muda. Removing non-value add assumes, and I'm going to do air quotes here, assumes that we know value add. My experience is not that we have clarity on value add. When we start to clarify value add, it opens up a whole range of really interesting conversations.
Wow.
Value add should always be focused to our customer experience. And see, when you introduce that customer piece, there's a lot of things we do internally. Well, I need this report and I need this file moved. Does the customer care? You know, we work in forklifts primarily. So does the customer care how much we drive that forklift around the shop till we actually fix it? They don't. They want it fixed. They want it back, they want it back in production. Yeah. You know, so.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I see this happen a lot. We don't do, so in my old life, we used to do customer experience design and talk about that. But it's amazing to me how many times a company is looking to get credit from the customer for something the customer doesn't care about. And how often they don't get credit for the things that the customer does care about because they're so proud of their process. They're so proud of what they do internally. It's like the customer doesn't care. But all these things that the customer does care about, you've completely ignored. So I love that idea of visually mapping the whole process before we might make changes, because it's so easy to make changes in a vacuum. It's so easy to say, well, if we did this differently, then that would be great for me. But you don't realize that downstream, it just affected four or five other people.
That's right.
I have a friend that does works with manufacturing companies and talks about how they can do improvements on the factory floor by moving different machines next to each other that may not on the surface make sense, like why they should be next to each other. But once they actually map out the whole thing, they're like, we just saved 48 seconds in building one. Map that out over the year and look how much time we save. And he told me that early on, what a lot of people do is they're like, well, let's just move this machine over here. Not realizing what it does to the entire flow of the manufacturing process, which I know Lean is big on, and making sure that we're shaving off those few seconds, continuously improving over time, it really adds up.
That's right. Well, but another piece is to build on what you're saying, Ryan, you mentioned recruiting and bringing in new associates. I would agree. There's probably nothing a manager does that's more important than hiring the right associates on the team. So that begs the immediate question, what's our onboarding process like? And a lot of times we don't hear that robust response we'd love to hear. Like, oh, well, we bring him in, you know, we hire a mentor, you know, we have mentors, we have on-the-job training, we have all this experience. So it's really exciting to me when we look at continuous improvement for the new associate perspective, because talk about explaining an opportunity to explain value add. If the new associate understands the value add contribution they make, they feel empowered to contribute early on. And what I find is people want to contribute. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Ryan, you know, it's a very competitive market. We're not competing in just like functional areas nowadays. Like if you're in logistics competing for people, that doesn't mean you're only competing for logistics hires. You might competing with manufacturing or service. You know, everybody's competing for the labor pool and the associates in the job market. So it's highly competitive and it's a great opportunity to apply better thinking to our process.
Yeah. And I think a lot of this too goes down to planning, which is what I'm hearing you say, is that we've got to have a really good plan and we got to know what our process looks like, because I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody go, whew, we finally hired one, just get them to work as fast as we can because we're backlogged.
Yes.
And then you throw them into the fryer and it's just like, wait a minute, well, they're not working out. And then we blame the job market. We blame the associates for not onboarding them correctly. Or we focus so much on the skills part of onboarding, how to use our equipment, how to do the work the way we do it. We forget to onboard them to the team. And we forget, like, why are you here? What's important to you? You talked about goals earlier. You know, what are your goals? Not just professional goals, make more money or whatever. What are your personal goals? Really connecting them with the team and taking the time to do that. And I can't tell you how many times I hear hiring managers go, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to onboard someone correctly. And then they, 6 weeks later, they're hiring someone again because that person didn't work out.
Well, yeah, we forget to count that in our process time, right? So if I lose that associate, where does that put us? Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, you don't have time, but do you really, you don't have, that's like saying, I don't have time to do it right, but I have time to do it over. I'm not sure that's the right perspective, but... You talked about planning last week. We were coaching a group and one of my team told me she was watching the process and she goes, instead of PDCA, plan, do, check, act, she's watching this process and she looks over at me. She's like, DCA, 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 because they got into this do, check, act cycle. They kept skipping the planning. I'm like, so the results maybe weren't as good as they might have been by introducing a little planning. It's a well-intended struggle we get into. And also one of the challenges we get into, you mentioned why. If we coach the why, the what and the how, they're results. Coming up with a what and how are results. If we understand the why, that also gives us agility to move as the customer experience needs to move. Customers want different things. You know, customers want their needs, their wants, their desires change. And so an organization that's healthy, in my experience, needs to be able to change with that customer dynamic. And that's not static. That's agile. That's the ability to see and move with it. And that's understanding why. Why are we here? Why do we do what we do to serve our customer? What's the customer's expectation?
Yeah, I've heard it said that if the why is big enough, if the why is important enough, the how-to is easy. Because you...
It is. Yeah. It's one of those counterintuitive moments, though. People want to show you the what's in the house. Like that's so why. If they don't understand the why, it becomes very static and they can't move with it. Mm-hmm. Or we grip it and we don't want to let go of it because we know this value add. It's the who moved my cheese paradigm that you were talking about. If we hold on to that, what cheese used to be here, you know, something successful used to be here. We're going to wait till it comes back around. Customers don't usually come back to things they've moved on to some different product or service for, you know, so it helps us. We want people to be confident and empowered in the workplace, and that's understanding their value add contribution. Yeah, yeah. So that also builds morale and will reduce turnover. If people feel like they can contribute to the workspace, people talk about Kaizen all the time, right? That's making a small improvement to the workspace. If people have the opportunity to make suggestions and leadership takes it serious, recognize they're the expert and that they should be looking for ways to make that work easier. Because easy work is sustainable, it has higher quality, and it's repeatable, right? So easy is a good thing. We don't need to make it more difficult. If associates are empowered to look for ways to make their work easier, right? Now they feel that contribution. Morale goes up. When morale's up, turnover goes down. Absenteeism goes down. Those are lagging indicators.
Yeah.
You know, if you have problems with those areas, those are lagging indicators. That means there's something amiss in the process in the workspace. And that we have control over.
Yeah, I love what you said there. Morale goes down and absenteeism goes down when we empower our people. And I think too often we think, oh, well, if people aren't coming at work, it's not my fault. If morale's down, that's not my fault. Yeah, that's just the wrong people. That's just the way the market is right now. It's just the way it is. Economy, you know, everybody's bummed. And so I think there's a ton of gold in that, in saying that if morale is a problem, or if absenteeism is a problem, or turnover is a problem, sometimes you need to look upstream. You need to take a look at yourself and say,
that's right.
What's wrong with our process? What's wrong with the way we onboard? What's wrong with the way we communicate? Take some ownership and you can solve that problem.
We had a group that they were sales coordinators and that we worked with, and there were three of them, and they had a consistent absentee problem in that group. And as we started exploring it, we found that they were struggling with their process. Mm-hmm. Their process wasn't well documented. Others had they had high turnover, so none of them had a lot of experience, right? So we kept replacing people, and it got into this really challenging cycle. So there wasn't a lot of history. So there wasn't a lot of tribal knowledge. So we helped the sales coordinator start to visualize their process. What's your process? We started to visualize things. Now, before we digitize it, we tend to do manual things first. So they had color-coded files, right? And they started setting up dates. So they're getting a sales order, and their job is to enter the sales order and get it turned out for the sales rep. It was taking them on average 3 weeks to get an order processed, right? And their absenteeism was really high for all three individuals. There were two primary, and there was a support individual that had to come in. As we work through that process, right, work the process, make it easier, make it visual, they started improving. After about, I don't know, it was about 6 months working with them, they had set a goal for themselves that they wanted to process every sale order that came in by 3 p.m. same day. And they were at about an 85% success rate. Now, they started out at 3 weeks and they moved the same day. And salespeople, we used to watch them. I watch them. I'm that guy coming in from outside. Salespeople used to come in. Are you getting my order in yet? It was really a negative antagonistic interaction. As they started turning things around, I'm watching salespeople. Oh man, you guys are great. You're amazing. I don't even know how you do it. Here, I've got an order. Oh, we'll get right on that for you. It became such a pleasant interaction. And turns out the absenteeism disappeared. There was no absentee issue after that. Yeah. They were miserable because they couldn't serve their customer. They didn't know how. As we helped them build those processes, it was highly visualized. The third of the three, remember, she floated back and forth. She could come in and pick up wherever they were because everything was so easy and so visual. Yeah. And so it became a really different, positive experience, and they were contributing. And they felt good about it.
I love that, making it easy for them to do it so that they could better serve the customer and the other department, the sales department, being able to serve everyone. And I truly believe that most human beings want to feel good about the work they're doing. They want to serve others, and they want to feel like they're part of a successful team. Keith, yes. This has been amazing. I mean, we could keep talking about this. I know we could.
It's fun. But it is. It's fun to help the workplace. It really is.
I love it. So, as we wrap up here, I know that Raymond does some amazing things, not just sell forklifts, right? Like you help people with
that. That's right. Yes, we do that, but a lot of other things too.
Yeah. So tell our listeners how they can learn more about what you guys do over there, Raymond, how they can connect with you if that's something you'd like them to do, and just maybe if there's a resource that they could go to learn more about this process.
Sure, absolutely. We can always reach out to me on LinkedIn. Go to our website to learn about Raymond. We provide a whole range of logistics solutions. So we're best known certainly for forklifts, but what we work in is material handling. And customers, turns out, Ryan, I'm going to tell you something amazing. Customers don't really care about forklifts. They want to move product.
Yeah.
That's what they want. And so we are here as a resource to help move product. And when we partner with customers, they learn to trust us as a partner, not just as a vendor. And that's what we want to be. We want to help them run their business better. Mm-hmm. So that might be supporting their processes. It might be warehousing. It might be layout. It might be conveyor systems or other products. It might be automatic guided products. But we have that whole range. And the way we should approach it is always, what is your current state? What is your target condition? Now we have that gap. That's our opportunity gap. Let us help you close that gap. If I'm moving 200 units an hour and I want to move 300 an hour, that's the gap. That's the gap we want to close. And it may be forklifts. It may be other things. We have that whole range of opportunities. But like I said, it's a lot of fun helping overcome those problems and challenges. So hopefully you'll reach out to us.
Awesome. And if you're listening to this right now and you want to learn more, check out the show notes, because I'm sure there's going to be other resources we're going to be adding to this as we're producing this episode. So in those show notes will be other links to other resources to learn more just about this process of continuous improvement, this mindset shift that we need to make in the workplace, but also how you can learn more about Keith and what Raymond is doing over there and how they can support you. Keith, thank you so much for being on the show today. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Ryan. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity. It's been fun.
Ryan England here. Thank you so much for listening to Titans of the Trades. If you're a Titan in the construction, manufacturing, or skilled trades industry and would like to be a guest on my show, please visit podcast.coremmatters.com. If you found value in this interview, would you share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot on your phone and share it with a friend or post it on social. And if you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Titans of the Trades. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, click the subscribe button. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and get me one step closer to solving the labor crisis facing the industry. Want to know more about how we're doing that? Go to our website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening.